sermon this morning comes from John chapter 13, starting with verse 31. John chapter 13, starting with verse 31. Therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him immediately." Pray with me. Father, help us to think rightly about you and your Son, that we would feel rightly about you and your Son, that we would live in accordance with this great truth, that you will be glorified as we live a life of service for you, rendering to you what you have called us to, lives laid down in your service. Bless us now as we would seek your face and as we would seek to understand you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I had the blessing of taking one of my sons to the dentist. And as we sat in the dentist's office in the waiting room, we saw a number of different people behaving very different ways. Some very different than what we are used to. We saw a man and a woman come in, and the woman was harsh, and she was gruff, and she was mean with her children, and she was mean to her husband. The husband kind of followed behind her. He was wearing pajamas, and he was hunched over, and he was just kind of, "Yes, dear, yes, dear." And the mother would walk in, and every move that had to be made, she would bark a command. "Stop there! Stand over here! What's the matter with you? Get over here! Go this way! Go that way!" Every moment. And the father even took up the posture. "You hear your mother? Didn't you hear what your mother said? Listen to your mother." And when they went back to the door, the lady nicely said, "Go to the door on the left." And the mother said, "Get to the door on the left." And when the door shut, I turned to Nate and I said, "Wow, Nate, you're loving me right now." The idea is that there's these circumstances in our lives that really reveal truth and reveal reality. The reality is, although I can be a jerk sometimes to my kids, I'm not as bad as that woman was to her kids. As we look at the scripture, oftentimes the reality needs displayed for us. The truth needs displayed to us so that we think rightly about our circumstances. Here in John chapter 13, Jesus is talking about the glory. The glory that belongs to him, that the Father has bestowed upon him. Jesus is talking about the glory and the way that he glorifies the Father. There's this relationship where they point to one another and say, "Look how excellent. Look how amazing. Look how beautiful." And through the course of our lives, there's all these other things that we're drawn to that we would say, "Ooh, shiny." And run at that and say, "How excellent, how glorious, how beautiful." No. No. Just like the image of the Leviathan in the Old Covenant. As mighty as that thing was, as powerful as that thing was, that creature, that beast, it was nothing compared to God. Nothing compared to his honor, his strength, his power. And in the course of our lives, all the things that we look at and say, "Ooh, shiny, pretty, beautiful, honorable, or glorious," it's nothing. Nothing compared to the glory of God in Christ Jesus. And we will find that all of our shadows and all of our crimes, all of our sins are looking for something else. Something more glorious than God. Something that will satisfy us more than God, more than His truth. And when we see the reality of the glory of God in Christ Jesus, we will fall on our knees and we will worship. Our hearts will bow down. Our lives will become something that's beautiful and seek the face of God. So now, as you would consider your shadows, as you would consider your crimes, as you would consider your pains, consider them in the light of the glory of Christ. And that's what we're going to be visiting this morning. We're going to be looking at the ways that the Father glorifies the Son, the ways that the Son glorifies the Father. This, when we think rightly, brings us to this place of worship. Our first step as we move along. Number one, Christ is glorified as He sets the model for love for all ages. All of us want love. All of us want love. And when I talk to different people and they say, I just really want someone to love me. And you ask the question, well, what is love? What do you mean by that? And really, all they're looking for is something selfish, something to make them happy, something to make them feel good about themselves. But as we look at the Scripture, this love is something deeper and more meaningful and more powerful than simply something to make us feel good about ourselves. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that also you love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." You see here, we see a love that is demonstrated. We see a love that is true, a love that is deep, a love that stands the test. And that's when people's lives fall apart, where they've invested everything. They think, this is my love. This is my strength. This is my happiness. And then when that's gone, it's as if they've lost God Himself. But when we see true love, when we see the true standard of love that Christ Jesus has bestowed upon you, that reality fills us. That reality blesses us. And it's not coming to us for the purpose of making us feel good, though it does that. When you see the reality that you were chosen from before the foundation of the world, and you will never be let go. This is the love that Christ has shown. This is the love that was demonstrated. As we look at our lives, we see that as Jesus has set this model, He set the model for a spouse even, saying, love your wives as I have loved the church. He set the model, and that will go both ways. He set the model for children, as He loves us as His children. We see the model that He set even as a child, the way that He loved the Father and demonstrated it for Him. We see the model for leaders, that He is the Good Shepherd. Love. Love. What you long for, what you hunger for, is displayed in Christ Jesus like nowhere else in the world. And if you see anything that compares, it's merely a reflection of Christ's great love for you. So this love, it's a commitment, again, it's a commitment to someone's eternal good. That's what Christ displayed on the cross, a commitment to your eternal good. That's what the Father displayed in giving His one and only Son to rescue you. A commitment to your eternal good. This is the standard. It goes beyond personal comfort in a moment. We see in what Christ did, it went beyond His desire for a reputation as He was stripped naked and hung with sinners. You see, it goes even beyond preserving our own life. That's the love. That's the love that has been displayed for you. There's a reason that we glorify Christ. Our next step, step two, Jesus glorifies the Father as He displays His justice. Isaiah 53:6, All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the enmity of us all to fall on him. That is, to fall on Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 53:10 it says, "But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand." In Psalm 99, verse 4, it says, "The strength of the king loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob." Justice! Do you want justice? How old were you before you could say, "That's not fair"? How old were your children before they would say, "That's not fair"? How often in the course of your life, even now, do you look around and say, "That's not fair"? God is the foundation of fair. God is the one who bestows truth and justice. How many times have we looked at a crime, a child or a woman abused, and we cry out, "Give us justice"? We want what is right to be done. But the terrible, hard truth is that if justice were enacted perfectly, the floor here would open up and all of us would fall into the fire of hell right now for the crimes that you've committed. But God is not willing to allow you to perish. God is not willing to allow all of his people to go to the fires of hell. He is not willing. And for justice to be maintained, that punishment had to be poured out. The punishment for your crimes, for your idolatry, for your adultery, for your lies, for your coveting, for your stealing, for your Sabbath breaking, for your lies, for your fornications, and for all your sins. That was placed on Christ, and the hammer of justice came upon Jesus Christ. We look at the cross and we see the picture of justice. And we see a God who is perfect and righteous. A God who enacts perfect justice. And we look at the world and we still say, "Not fair, not fair, not fair." There will be a judgment. There will be a just judgment. And every crime that has not been covered by the blood of Christ will receive God's full wrath and curse. So you and I are placed in a very awkward position. As we would long for justice, and we cry out for justice, we would long to see the guilty punished. But you and I are put in a place where we're not punished. We're not bearing the weight, the full weight of our crimes. We're not getting eternity in hell. And this brings us to the place where we glorify God because of his loving kindness. Our third move. Christ glorifies the Father as he displays the Father's loving kindness. Again, verse 31. "Therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him.'" Now, the displaying of God's value, the displaying of his weight and true worth. In Micah 7:18 through 20, it asks the question, "Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain His anger forever because He delights in unchanging love. So from the place of justice and rejoicing in God's justice, we come to the place where we rejoice in the loving kindness that has been demonstrated for us. And what does that do to us? What does that do to us? You know, it's as if we're in a situation where we're children and we have been misbehaving and we had a partner in misbehaving. And all of a sudden a parent comes in and whacks one child. He's there crying. And the other, he says, "You have grace." Then do we say, "You dirty child. You villain." But the loving kindness that's been placed on us puts us in the place of grace. Grace. Now perhaps you imagine, yeah, that's just for the people who've sinned in the same fashion that I've sinned. But the truth is, as it says it in James 2:10, if you've broken the law, you've broken the law. If you've lied, you've committed adultery. If you've lied, you've committed murder. If you've coveted, you've broken all of the commandments. And does this leave us in a place then where we say, "You dirty child," to the rest because we've been given grace? But no, we look at God's loving kindness and we marvel. We look at God's loving kindness and we bow and we worship. And then when we deal with sinners, God is glorified then. Because we are so filled with grace. Because we have been shown such grace. It's the reality of our lives. It's the reality of here and now as it is the reality of our eternity. You have been shown grace. Pity. You have been shown charity. I have heard many people from my Appalachian culture say, "I will not take charity." And you'll burn in hell forever if you can't take charity. Because that's all that has saved anyone who is saved. Charity. Pity. And until we can bow the knee and glorify Christ because of the loving kindness, the charity, and the pity that we have been given, I would say we are almost saved. We've almost entered the kingdom of God. But almost is far, far away from saved. So Christ glorifies the Father as He displays His loving kindness. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Romans 8:32. "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all." Now our fourth step is God is glorified as He displays the glory of His Son. See, God displays His own character in Jesus. It's rather exciting that people would speculate and people wondered what God was like. They would wonder what it would be like to sit down and talk with God. They would wonder what it would be like to have God come and preach a sermon. What would it be like to talk with Him? Well, that's exactly what God displayed when Jesus Christ walked the earth. And I'll point out the people who received Jesus at that point. It was the sinners. It was the prostitutes. It was the drunks. But the religious people of the day, they wanted nothing to do with Him. Colossians 1:15, speaking of Jesus, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." Hebrews 1:3, and He is the radiance of His glory. Can you think of that? The radiance of His glory. His glory so expressed that it's shining and burning and emanating forth. When Jesus walked the earth as that meek individual, as He walked the earth and as He lived in a filthy world, He was the radiance. He radiated glory. To know God is to know Him through Jesus Christ. This is the reality of our Christ. He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. Matthew 3:17, we have the Father testifying about the Son. And I'll tell you, this is a beautiful moment in many ways. Matthew 3:17, "And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That moment there, it's as if I imagine all creation just pausing and taking a breath when the Father spoke. You know, I've told you before the moment when I spoke in a pulpit for the first time, and it was just a little 10-minute thing, and afterwards I went and I sat down in the pew and I sat next to my dad, and I was so tense. I really felt like I needed my Father's praise at that moment. And He just leaned over and He said, "Good job." And when He said that, my eyes, it just welled up instantly. There's this thing that's been placed upon us. And here we see that Jesus here, the Father says, "Good job. This is My Son in whom I am well pleased." We see a Father loving His Son and displaying that love for His Son. It's as if the Father said, "This is excellence. This is beauty. This is righteousness. This is truth. This is all that mankind was meant to be." And God displayed that. And as we think of it being the radiance of the glory of God, that's actually the Father also saying, "This is what I'm like. This is what I'm like. This is Me. This is My love and My commitment." And we see there that love and that commitment, it's not just words. How many times have we been fed up with words? How many times have we been fed up with apologies? How many times have we been fed up with people making empty promises? We see here that Christ, it wasn't words. It wasn't just words. It was a full-scale commitment to action and eternal good. Full and complete. He went all the way and He finished the job. There was a time when I was in high school and I was in this awkward situation in a Spanish class. There was this girl, Alice, who eventually became prom queen. So you know what kind of girl that we're dealing with now, or what she looked like. And in this setting, on her desk, all of a sudden, all of her books and all of her papers fell off, boom, onto the floor and spread everywhere. And that's a nightmare for a student. And the room is quiet, and she's going to have to get up and walk up all the way around and go down. And I'm sitting there thinking, "Oh, I should do something. I should do something." And it was on my mind that it would be the right thing to do to go help Alice. And so I should do the right thing. And her being, you know, on the way to being a prom queen didn't hurt either, you know. So I got up and I got down on my knees, and it was dead silent in the room. Dead silent. Everybody's like, "Whoa, can't believe this is happening," was the way the scene was going. And I picked everything up, and my face was beet red. And I picked all of her stuff up, and I set it on her desk, and I went back, and I sat down. And she turned around and looked over her shoulder and gave me the little blink blink thing. And she said, "Thank you, Micah." And it was loud enough for the whole class to hear, and that was too far. It was more than I could bear at that moment. And my response was, "Shut up!" It was, needless to say, there was no relationship between me and Alice, I couldn't bear it. It was too embarrassing. I couldn't stand it. I cracked under the pressure. We see that Jesus went all the way. There was nothing, nothing that he couldn't bear. He went all the way and then some for your rescue, for your salvation, and for your eternity. This is the glory of Christ and his love for you. Our fifth step is God is glorified in the Son of Man with the authority over his own life. This is something that had puzzled me at different times as I looked at Scripture. We look and Jesus said he laid down his own life. And that was puzzling. That looks like a suicide, which is a crime, which is a murder. We look, but in John, again, John 13:32, God is glorified in him. So we see that he did all things well. God will also glorify him in himself. In John 10:18, it says, "No one has taken it away from me," referring to his own life. "No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative." He said, "I have authority to lay it down. And I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from the Father." What is it that to know someone and to love someone, Jesus Christ, who has that full authority? To lay down life. To pick up life. To kill and destroy. To resurrect and to heal. You see, Christ glorified in this full authority in his own life. Now our next step is, God glorifies Jesus by placing him in the role where he will be cherished and admired forever. It gets to the point in the church where people are blessing one another in the name of Christ. He's so loved and so admired and so cherished. In 1 Corinthians 16:24 says, "My love be with you all in Christ Jesus." And we see this coming about now. And this is Revelation 5:13. And this is an amazing scene right here. I don't know how to think in terms of creation speaking. I don't know how to think about that. But it happens. In Revelation 5:13. "And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea, and all things in them, I heard saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." You see, through what Jesus Christ did and all that he went through and all that the Father placed on him, it came to the point where all creation praises him. All creation rejoices in him. How the seas say it, I don't know. How the sun and the moon and the stars say it, I don't know. But you'll see it. You'll see it. You who trust in Christ, you're going to see it. You're going to hear the sky shout. You're going to hear the sea shout. You'll hear the sun and the moon and the stars shout glory to the Lamb. And this only comes as he is that Lamb. That Lamb. That's why this title is placed there. The one who laid down his life for your rescue. That glory is then placed on him in that capacity. It's beginning to seem as if love cannot be overemphasized. Because what he did was love. What the Father did was love. What you are placed in now is love. And as it said in Micah, an unending love. And this brings us to our seventh step. God glorifies Jesus by putting all things into his hands. Isaiah 53:12. And this was looking at Christ in Isaiah 53 as the suffering servant. So after we go through the suffering part, therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great. In Isaiah 9:6-7, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Is there anything else that you need? Is there anything else that you need for satisfaction, for rest, and for security beyond the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace? There will be no end to the increase of His government or of peace. In Daniel 7:14, and to Him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. In Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You know, I've oftentimes thought of the devil like a bully on the playground, and he knows recess is almost over. That's the way I think of it. And when we're not embracing this reality, we're just following that. We're just following that theme. With every sin that we commit, we're just pretending like we're just on the playground and it's almost over. God's not paying attention. We just run around and get away with anything we can get away with, rather than embracing the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. So glory. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Father as He glorifies the Son. Rejoice in the Son as He glorifies the Father. Give your affections and your thoughts to this truth, that we too will radiate the glory of God in Christ Jesus. Pray with me. Our God, thank You for Your truth. Thank You for bringing it to us. Thank You for speaking it to us. Do be glorified as we think rightly about You and as we direct our affections to You. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is Psalm 145.